Okay, first of all, thank you to the Zamiks for opening your home, for inviting us in, for inviting me in. I guess the rest of you get together all the time, so this is new. I'm the outsider in the group, but thank you for enhancing the learning in our neighborhood, and especially Rosh Chodesh Elul, as we put the final touch on today. Rosh Chodesh Elul, it's a time to really start thinking a lot. There's a lot to think about, and there's a lot to prepare ourselves for. And before you know it, it'll be Rosh Hashanah, and then it'll be Yom Kippur. Then it'll be Sukkot. Before you know, it'll be Pesach. But we'll take it one step at a time. We'll start with an idea that's found in the Sefer Bnei Yisachar. It's a little bit of a Kabbalistic idea, but I want to try to just explain it in the simplest way that maybe one could explain such an idea. There's a concept that's based on early works of Hasidus and Kabbalah, that every month of the calendar year has a name of God, an arrangement of Hashem's name that's connected to that month. Okay, if you're overwhelmed already, I do too. We're talking about something very deep. We're going to try to keep it very simple. Basic name of Hashem that appears over 1,800 times in the Torah is the name Yud and He and Vav and He. That's God's. God has many names: Elohim, Shakai, Kel. Right, but Yud Ke Vav Ke, Yud and He and Vav and He is the most basic name of Hashem. It appears 1,820 times in the Torah. About once every three psukim. How many different ways could I take those four letters and rearrange them? Yud and He and Vav and He. So I could jumble them in 12 different arrangements. And we have sources that tell us that every month has a name of Hashem, has an arrangement, better said, an arrangement of God's name that corresponds to that month. So what month is Hashem's name straight? Yud Kei Vav Kei, in order. What's an orderly month? What would you say? That's an orderly month. Okay, Tishrei might be a good guess. What else could we say?
Nisan's the first one.
Nisan's the first month, and if I told you the word order in Hebrew, Seder, right, that would probably be the giveaway. Right, that Nisan is a time of Seder. We have a Pesach Seder. It's a time when the world is coming into its own in the sense that the purpose of creation, namely that the Jewish nation should be born, is taking place. It's referred to in the Torah as the Rishon, as the first of the month, so it's an orderly time. What month would you say is Hashem's name backwards? Hey, Vav, Hey, Yud. God's Adar. Name in reverse. All right? Everyone always says Adar. V'nahafuchu, the backwards month. Good guess. Okay, what else could be backward? Well, what could backwards mean? Backwards could be Hashem, so to speak, turning his back on us, so Av becomes a good guess, but the truth is Tammuz is actually worse than Av. Because the first half of Chodesh Av is a very uncomfortable time for us. But from Tu B'Av, from the 15th and Av till the end of Chodesh Av, it's actually a very joyous time in the Jewish calendar. So therefore, Av is kind of chatzi chatzi. Tammuz is a month that's considered to be kulo din, midat ha-din. It's a time of strict judgment from beginning to end. And therefore, the name of God for the month of Tammuz is Hashem's name completely backwards. Hey, Vav, Hey, Yud. Okay, and each month has an arrangement of Hashem's name, which reveals to us some of the deeper dimensions of the month. So the Bnei Yisachar, in the first source, Bnei Yisachar was written by Ratzvi Elimelech of Dinov. It's a very important Hasidic work on the calendar year. And he says that the Tziruf Shem Havaya Shel Chodesh Elul, which means Tziruf, the arrangement of the name Havaya, the arrangement of God's name, as it's referred to, for the month of Elul is Hey, Hey, Vav, Yud. Hey, hey, Vav Yod. Now, what does this mean for us? What do I do with this information? Right now, we don't do anything because we don't understand anything about it yet. Truthfully, when you daven Musaf on Rosh Chodesh, and if you daven out of a Nusach Svartzer, you'll actually see a little box in the art scroll, which tells you the arrangement of God's name for that month. And when you say the bracha for Rosh Chodesh in Musaf, in the Shemona Esrei, you're supposed to try to picture that arrangement of God's name. Okay, we're not Kabbalists, so maybe that's beyond us. But let's try to learn a lesson from it. What's the lesson of Hey Hey Vav Yud? And the Svarim tell us, Bnei Yisachar tells us, that it's always hinted to in a pasuk. The sources give us a phrase in Tanakh, sometimes in the Torah, sometimes in the Vim or Ksuvim, where this name of Hashem is alluded to. So where is this name of Hashem, Hey Hey Vav Yud, alluded to? In a pasuk in Parshas Veschanan. Okay, you have it still here in source number one. Yotze min sofei tevos. It's hinted to in the last four letters of these four words, Utzedaka tihyeh lanu ki. Devarim chapter 6, verse 25. Utzedaka ends with a hey. Tihyeh ends with a hey. Lanu ends with a vav. Ki ends with a yud. Hey, hey, vav, yud. Everyone see it? Utzedaka sofei tevos. The final letters of this phrase, seemingly a random piece of a pasuk in Parshas Va'eschanan, somehow that reveals to us the big secret of Chodesh Elul. What does that mean? Utzedaka tihyeh lanu ki. It will be a merit for us if. How do you even translate the phrase? So instead of learning the phrase out of context, let's try to learn the phrase in context. Let's find out. Let's go back to Parshas Va'eschanan in source number 2. And let's find out what in fact this pasuk is talking about. Okay, what is the context? What is the context of this pasuk? So let's read the whole section over there in Parshas Va'eschanan. The psukim will sound familiar to us actually from Pesach. Ki yish'alcha bincha machar lemor, in source number 2. When your child will ask you at some point in the future. This is the source for one of the four sons in the Pesach Seder. Ma ha'edus v'achukim v'mishpatim asher tziva Hashem Elokeinu eschem. What exactly are these rules about? All these statutes and all these rules that God has commanded you. What's it all about? V'amarta levincha, and you'll explain to your children in the future. Avadim hayinu lefar v'mitzrayim. Sounds familiar? We were slaves to Paro in Egypt. V'yotzeinu Hashem mitzrayim b'yad chazaka, and God in His generosity saved us from Egypt. V'yitein Hashem ososu mofsim gedolim. V'ra'im b'mitzrayim b'far v'chol v'esoleinenu. We saw wondrous things. Things which were quite troublesome for Paro, but wondrous for us. And Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. And when God did all of that for us, well, you know, it's not for free. There's an expectation. Pasuch av dalid. V'yitzaveinu Hashem la'asos es kol achukam ha'ela. Hashem therefore commanded us in many mitzvos. Both the mitzvos of Pesach, in addition to the mitzvos that we have throughout our life, throughout the calendar year, liyiras Hashem Elokeinu l'tov lanu, that we should become God-fearing or awe-inspired Jews in a way that will be beneficial for us, kol hayamim l'chayosenu kayom hazeh. Now, here's our phrase. You see it? The last pasuk in source 2. U'tzedaka tihyeh lanu ki nishmor la'asos es kol ha'mitzvah zos lefnei Hashem Elokeinu kasher tzivanu. It will be meritorious for you. U'tzedaka tihyeh lanu, it'll be meritorious for us. Ki nishmor la'asos, when we guard all of these rules and we do all of these rules, as Hashem has commanded us. So it seems like one of the many psukim in Chumash Devarim that says, be a good boy or girl, and it'll be good for you. Do the mitzvos, you owe it to God anyways. God took us out of Mitzrayim, we owe Hashem, we should pay Him back properly, and it'll be good for you. If you're a good observant Jew, it'll be good for you. That's the context of the pasuk. Okay. So I could say on the most simple level, it's a pasuk that's encouraging us to do more mitzvos, and then we'll have more merit. That sounds Eluldik, no? I'm getting ready for Rosh Hashanah. I'm realizing I could use a few more merits in my spiritual bank account. So says the pasuk, it'll be meritorious for you if you get serious about mitzvos. Okay. That's the phrase, hey, hey, vav yud. That's where it's hinted to, the name of God. But again, this word, tzedakah tiyah lanu ki, we have to try to delve in a little bit deeper. Tzedakah. Let's think about tzedakah. That's what I really want to think about tonight. At least for half of the shiur. You can see the title of the shiur. I was debating what the title of the shiur. We'll see if the title lives up to the shiur. Open Your Heart Surgery, Getting More Than You Give in Chodesh Elul. Okay, so let's start with the getting more than you give in Chodesh Elul. How does tzedakah work? Let's talk about tzedakah. Let's do a little Rebbetzin Henny Machlis math, okay? You want to do a little Rebbetzin Henny Machlis math? Anyone know what I'm talking about? Yeah? Rebbetzin Henny Machlis said, if you have $100 and you give $10 to charity, so how much do you have? You have $10. That's correct. You know why? Because the other 90, what are you going to spend it on? So maybe you'll buy yourself, you treat yourself to a roll of sushi. Okay, so we know how long that lasts. All right? Or you'll buy yourself a new dress. Okay, so you wear that for a period of time. But then either, you know, your body will change or the styles will change or you just won't like it anymore. It'll get worn out from wearing it too much because you love that dress so much and eventually you'll retire that dress. Right? The money that you give to tzedakah, that's forever. You just invested in eternity. So the $10 that you gave to tzedakah, that can never be taken away. If you buy yourself some food, if you buy yourself an item of clothing, right? If you buy your child a toy, so your child will play with the toy for a period of time, and then that's it. And then it'll break, or you'll outgrow it, or it'll become obsolete. But when you invest in Torah and mitzvot, when you invest in tzedakah, that's an investment that no one can take away from you. And what's so amazing about tzedakah is, it's one of these mitzvot where we have sources that indicate to us that your intentions don't even really matter so much. As Jews, we put a lot of emphasis on our intentions. My tefillah depends on my kavanah. We're learning Torah now. There's learning Torah lishma, there's learning Torah lo lishma, whatever that means exactly. But there's levels of intention. Tzedakah, the bottom line is you helped out someone. Someone has 10 more dollars that they could use, that they needed and they can use. So you could give the tzedakah in a less than optimal fashion, but you helped another person. And therefore, it's almost like guaranteed, you know, success when a person does an act of tzedakah. And what you invest is what you have, is what you own. The Beis Halevi, the original Rav Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik, of course the Rav was named after, his great-grandfather. The Beis Halevi in Parshas Truma, and it's a comment that others have in Parshas Truma as well, wonder when you donate to the Beis HaMikdash, you're donating to the Mishkan, we're collecting, right? We're taking people's possessions for God. And yet, how does the Torah refer to giving to the Beis HaMikdash, giving to the Mishkan, donating to God? Says the Pasuk, Vayikhu li Truma, take for me. Since when is giving called taking? Why would I refer to giving as taking? Says the Beis Halevi in source number 3, V'dikte ha-kasav, the pasuk is very precise. V'amar v'yikhu li truma, v'lo amar v'yitnu li truma. God doesn't say, give me donations. God says, take for me donations. Take? How is it taking? When I give my money. When Jews generously gave of their gold and their silver and all the various magnificent, beautiful materials to build a Mishkan, how is that taking? V'yikhu? That's v'yitnu. That's giving. Explains the Beis Halevi. And this again is where Rabbi Tzimachlis got her hashkafa from. It's from the Torah itself. The ikur mashiyesh lo la'adam b'mamono hu mashinosein letzlakah. You know what money you own? You know which investments are guaranteed? It's that which you give to holy purposes, that you dedicate to pure causes. Digam yishiyesh lo mamon harbe. Says the Beis Halevi, a person could have an exorbitant sum of money in their bank account. Ain't a mamon shalom. That's not your money. Hashem has been generous to lend it to you. That's also something to think about, to appreciate. But to call it yours, we just had in the parsha last week. Kochi va'otzem yadi, asali asachayel azeh. Through my own brilliance, through my own charisma, through my own strength, I amassed all this wealth. Not true. That's not true. Hashem was kind enough to give it to you. Hashem allowed your investments to work out. Other people's investments didn't work out. Hashem allowed you to get the job for whatever reason. Maybe someone was more qualified and they didn't get the job. You need to feel that this is not my money. It's on loan to me by Hashem. Rakamamun munach etzlo. The money has been deposited by me. I'm just watching it for God. I'm a shliach of Hashem to invest this money in what? Not in box tickets for my favorite, you know, sporting event, but to invest it in, I don't know, in Jewish education and building a shul and helping people buy Shabbos food. Now look at this mashal that he gives. It's a great mashal. Because a lot of people say this idea that it says vayikhu, it could have said vayitnu. The Beis Halevi gives the following mashal that really hammers it home. In the third line, source number 3. V'hu dome mamash l'chaticha gedola harbe shel tzukar. Imagine a big pile of sugar. Right? Imagine a big sugar cube. Okay? A big piece of candy or a big sugar cube. Hamunach ba'argaz sagur. And it's lying in some type of closet or chest that's closed, that's sealed. Vizavuv echad gam kein bateva. And imagine a fly ended up in that cabinet. So you have this big sugar cube sitting in your cabinet, and a fly also is flying around, is buzzing around inside that cabinet. And the fly looks down and he sees the sugar cube and he says, "Oh, look at my sugar cube. This is my sugar cube. Hole chalav." He's prancing around, he's walking on the sugar cube. And he's eating as much as he wants from the sugar cube. Hayachol hazavuv lehit pa'er shu ashir v'yesh lo harbe. Can the fly really claim this is my sugar cube? I own this sugar cube. I'm in control of this sugar cube. Acharei ki gam hu sagur. First of all, little fly, you're also trapped in that cabinet. And if someone doesn't come to open that cabinet, you're a dead fly. Right? So you could prance around thinking you're a big shot, looking like I've got the biggest mound of sugar in this neighborhood. But you're a fly that's stuck. You're a fly that's stuck behind the wooden door. V'gam ein b'kocho litlo kula la'atzo. And if I were to say to the fly, okay, I'm going to open the door. I'm kicking you out though. Take your sugar cube and get out. Is the fly taking the sugar cube? Does the fly have the means to take the sugar cube? Do we have the means to take our possessions with us beyond this world? What we take with us is our mitzvos. What we take with us is the tzedakah that we invested. Keina ashiras lagabe ha'adam. Duhurak munach etzlo. So too, the money that has been deposited, that Hashem has lent us, v'lo shehem shalom, it's not ours. Rakasach shenosein letzedakah hu shalom mamish. But the money that we give to tzedakah, that really is ours. That's an eternal investment. And the Machlises, for those who know the Machlis family from Yerushalayim, they certainly practice what they preach. And they're people who are exceedingly wealthy. They've given so, so much to so many types of people, so many Jews and non-Jews alike, opening their home with unbelievable dedication to people, with Hachnasas Orchim. That's just unbelievable. In Eretz Yisrael, this past year, we took our daughter, she just turned 12, and we went on a Thursday night to just help out a little bit, you know? Help spend a couple hours there in this operation of what's going on there, preparing to open their home to hundreds of people over Shabbos. Anyone who wants. Man, woman, child, Jew, non-Jew. You need a place to eat? Go to the Machlises. And ever since Rebbetzin Machlis passed away, her daughters continue. The family continues to run the operation. It's an unbelievable operation there. And we stood there peeling carrots and chopping radishes and whatever. Potatoes. It's just an unbelievable thing to. But they're very wealthy people in their tiny little apartment in Mala Dafna. They're unbelievably wealthy people. You know why? Because they spend every penny they have investing in what? Investing in chesed. Investing in tzedakah. And therefore, v'nimsa dehanesina letzedakah hu lekicha la'atzmo derak zehu shalom. And that's why when you give to the Beis HaMikdash, when you donate, v'yikhu, you're taking. You're taking. You're not giving. The things you choose to hold on to, those are going to be taken away from you one day. But when a person invests in tzedakah, every bit that you give, it bounces right back to you. I'll tell you something very interesting about the word tzedakah. There's a concept in gematria called atbash. Atbash means you take the aleph and you exchange it for the, right? You take the first letter of the aleph bays and you exchange it for the last letter. So aleph is interchangeable with taf and bays with shin. Tzedakah in atbash is tzedakah. Tzedakah in Atbash is tzedakah. Tzadi is interchangeable with hey. Tzadi is the fifth to last letter, and hey is the fifth letter. And kuf is interchangeable with dalet. Right? So tzedakah, in reverse, so to speak, is still tzedakah. What's the message in that? The message is, in tzedakah so often, it looks like the flow of energy is in one direction, but it's coming back to you. You think you're giving to someone else. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving back to you. You're getting at least as much back in return as you thought you were giving to someone else. Where's actually the first mention of the word tzedakah in the Torah? Anyone know? Where's the first time we encounter the word tzedakah in the Torah? The first mention of tzedakah in the Torah is in Parshas Lech Lecha. The pasuk says that Avram believed in Hashem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, well, let me not say a parish, let me just tell you what the words are. It's not on the page in front of you. V'hemin ba'Hashem v'yachshaveh lo tzedakah. Bereishis chapter 15. V'hem min ba'Hashem, Avram believed in Hashem, v'yachshaveh lo tzedakah, and he considered it righteousness. He considered it tzedakah. Who considered what tzedakah? So Rashi says, and it just shows you that tzedakah, there's always two perspectives to tzedakah. You think it's going one direction, it's really sometimes going the opposite direction. Rashi says, the fact that Avram believed in Hashem, Hashem said, wow, thank you so much. You did me a big favor. Right? Hashem considered it tzedakah. Hashem considered it Avram. You're the first one to really discover me, to really believe in me, to spread the word about me, to tell people that I exist. So Hashem said to Avram, you did tzedakah with me. That's how Rashi learns the pasuk. You know how the Kutzker Rebbe learned the pasuk? Kutzker Rebbe learned it the exact opposite. V'hemin ba'Hashem, Avram believed in Hashem. And Avram said, Hashem, You did tzedakah with me. You know why? Because you gave me the ability to believe in you. You did me a favor by giving me amunah. Right? The fact that I discovered you, Hashem, that's not me doing you a favor. That's you doing a favor for me. That you revealed yourself enough in the world that I was able to discover you. Right? So which is it? But that's what tzedakah is. Right? Each person thinks they're doing a favor for the other one. The poor person who's receiving from the wealthier person says, "Wow, this person is helping me." And the rich person says, "What do you mean? You're giving me the only true investment in this world. You're giving me the opportunity to invest in something eternal." So the idea behind tzedakah is that you get out of it what you put into it. Heni machlis math, as it's called. You have $100, you give 10 away, that's how much you have. You have $10. Why? So now let's come back. So why is Chodesh Elul utzedakah ti'alanu ki? Well, Chodesh Elul is also a time to really understand the power of investing. Right? The opportunity to invest in Chodesh Elul is like, realize if all year round, you know, my portfolio is diversified, so to speak, in terms of my interests, in terms of the things that I'm busy with, I get focused in Chodesh Elul and I say, you know what, I got to start investing in the right things. And the right things are my davening and my learning and my midos and my mitzvos. I become focused and I understand that the only thing I'm really going to have when I show up on Rosh Hashanah are the things that I invested in the spiritual world. That's what I take. That's what I take to the Yom HaDin. But the truth is, tzedakah doesn't really work like that. Tzedakah is not tit for tat, $1 for $1. If you invest 10, you get back 10. It's better than that. Tzedakah has exponential payback. And we just had it in yesterday's parsha. Aser ta aser, in source number 4, aser ta aser is called tvua zarecha yotze hasad shana shana. Aser ta aser. Tithe your produce. Right? Give ma'aser. Give of your field 10%. 10%. Then donate 10% to the ani in certain years, 10% to the levi. You give truma to the Kohen, it's not 10%, it's 2%, whatever it is. You give different percent, but give generously of your success. Aser ta aser, share your success. What's the double lashon? What's this aser ta aser? What does that mean? Says the Gemara in Maseches Tanis in source number 5, Amr of Yochran. What does it mean, aser ta aser? Aser bishvil shetis asher. Read it aser, not ta aser, but aser te asher. Osher, you become rich. When you give tzedakah, it makes you rich. So you'll say, really, is that true? Try it. Give away all your savings to tzedakah. See how it goes. Try it. So say, Moshe Tzvi, you're a crazy person. So I'll say, it's not me. It's the Gemara. The Gemara tells a story. The Rabbi Yochanan once met a child, and he said to him, what are you learning? He said, I'm up to the pasuk aser to aser. So he said, what's with the double aser to aser? Why did God write it that way? Why is it written that way in the Torah? So the kid said, Aser b'shvil shetis asher. The kid said this drasha. Give ma'aser, give generously of your money, and you'll see Hashem will pay you back many times more. Many times over. So Rabbi Yochanan said, how do you know? So the kid said, try it. Test out Hashem. See if he does it. See if God's good for his word. So Rabbi Yochanan says, you're allowed to test Hashem? I thought the Pasuk in Chumash says you're not supposed to test God. You know, we don't make deals with God. I'm going to do this and you're going to do that. You're not allowed to test Hashem. Says the Gemara, tzedakah is the exception. You're allowed to test Hashem with tzedakah. You're allowed to test Hashem with tzedakah. You're allowed to give tzedakah with the intention of getting rich. And it quotes a Pasuk in Malachi in the third parak, where the Pasuk says, the end of source number 5, Hashem says, test me, try me out. You see, give a lot of money to tzedakah. There are halachos of tzedakah also. But the next time you're hesitating, I don't know, you feel like, I don't know, it's going to be tight for our family if we give, if we keep giving. Try it. Push yourself to give. And see if it doesn't come back to you. The Gemara says that the Pasuk says you're going to get a bracha, harikosi lachem bracha ad blidai. Hashem is going to give you an abundant bracha. You can test out a Kaddish bracha with tzedakah. So tzedakah is not only, again, make an investment and Hashem will take note of that and Hashem will, you know, acknowledge that was a good investment. But Hashem pays back exponentially. And now we're starting to understand a little bit more what Chodesh Elul is about. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this is like, you know, this is bonus bucks, you know? This is like for every dollar that's donated, we'll get you know, quadruple matching on your donation. Right? That's what Chodesh El is. Hashem gives us a chance at the end of the year, as we're scrambling to try to make sure that we're going to be able to show up properly for Rosh Hashanah. Hashem says, Tzedakah, let's play a game called Tzedakah. The name of Hashem for the month of El, hey, Vav Yud, what does that mean? It's hinted to in a pasuk, Utztaka Tiyalanu Ki. You make investments, Hashem says, you'll see, it's not too late. It's the last month, I'm running behind schedule, I'll never catch up, I'll never be ready for Rosh Hashanah. Hashem says, trust me, there's plenty of time. You'll be paid back exponentially for your efforts. Just get involved, start making the right choices. Show me that you're alert enough when you hear the sound of the shofar in Chodesh Elul, that you're ready to get serious, that you're ready to start thinking, that you're ready to make significant changes in your life. Aser to aser, aser b'shvil shetis asher. You can still get rich. Realize that Hashem is going to pay you back so much more than you're giving away. You're getting so much back in return. Meiser behema. How does a person tithe one's animals? The Mishnah in Maseches Rosh Hashanah says that Aleph Elul is the Rosh Hashanah for Meiser behema. Today, Aleph Elul, today was Rosh Chodesh Elul, Aleph Elul is the new year for tithing one's animals. Whatever animals are born within a period of a year, from one Elul to the next Elul, you take 10% of those animals and you have to set them aside as Meiser. It's called Meiser behema. But you know how you do it? I'm going to teach you an amazing psychological insight. You know how a farmer tithes his animals? Here's what he does. He lines up all his animals, all the animals that were born in that year. And here's how he counts. He counts like this. He says, one for me, two for me, three for me. He lets them out of the pen one by one. He's counting to make sure he does it right. Four for me, five for me, six for me, seven for me, eight for me, nine for me, one for God. And then he does it again. He marks every tenth one. Chazal described how he marks it with a little red stripe. Gives a little red mark, a little red paint on its ear, or whatever, on its back. He marks the animal, and that one's Meiser. So I saw on a sefer called Pele Yoetz from Rav Matal Hornstipler, Rav Mordechai of Hornstipler. Rabbi Tversky, the famous Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Tversky, all his books. So so the Hornstipler was his great, great, he passed away in 1903, so he must be his great grandfather, great, great grandfather. He has one of his books is called the Zeder of Matel, about Matel of Hornstipler, Mordechai of Hornstipler. He wrote a sefer called Pele Yoetz. So he writes in Parshas Bechukosai, he says, why can't we just take 10%? Like, look at all my animals and just like break off 10%. He said, because Hashem wants you to realize how much you get to keep. Hashem says, I'm not asking for very much. One for me, two for me, three for me, four for me. I imagine, I said to my 3.5-year-old son, Yaakov, you know, can you share your snack with daddy? You know, you're eating your pretzels. Sure, one pretzel for Yaakov, two pretzels for Yaakov, three pretzels for Yaakov, four pretzels. Right, nine pretzels for Yaakov, one pretzel for daddy. That's called sharing. And Hashem says, yeah, that's fine, that's plenty. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm giving you a really good deal. Just invest a little bit in me, and you get to keep the bulk for yourself. That's what happens in Chodesh Elul. Hashem says, just try to understand the concept of tzedakah. You're getting much more than you're giving. Yes, I'm asking you, Hashem says, I'm asking you to daven a little harder. We're going to have slichos before we know it, and people are going to be waking up, you know, earlier, staying up late to daven, and then there's a lot of davening, the machzor and Rosh Hashanah, we're counting pages, we're looking how many pages left till we get to the end. You know, okay, Hashem says, I'm asking, but I promise you, I'm going to pay you back so many times over. It's so worth it to make that effort. It is so worth it for you to find the strength to make that effort and to do it right. And the same way that this is true in tzedakah, the same thing is true when it comes to tshuva. The reason that the name of Hashem for the month of Elul, U'tzedakah ti'alanu ki, Hashem wants us to think about tzedakah. You think, Hashem, look what I'm doing for you. I'm getting up early and I'm working harder and I'm davening more. And Hashem says, let me let you in on a little secret. You're not really doing it for me, you're doing it for yourself. You're getting much more out of it than you're giving to me. How does it work when we do tshuva? How much tshuva do we need to do to get a very sizable return? Says the pasuk in Shir HaShirim in source number 7. Ani yesheina v'libi er, kol dodi dofek pischili. My beloved, right? Elo, ani ledodi v'dodi li, the most famous remez to Elo. Right? Ani ledodi v'dodi li spells out Elo, the first letters. So says the pasuk, kol dodi dofek. My beloved is knocking on the door, trying to wake me up. Pischili, just open the door. The beloved, the lovers are trying to come together. In Shir HaShirim, in the fifth parak. explains the Medrash. You know how much you need to open the door? Let me tell you how much you need to open the door. Says the Medrash in source number 8. Rabbi Yasa Amar, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. God says to the Jewish people, Banai, my beloved children, Pishu li Pesach Echad, Shal Tshuva Kechuda Shal Machat. You know how much I need you to open the door? Take a needle. Take a needle for sewing. Yeah? Look at the size of the eye of a needle. Yeah, and ask yourself, what type of doorway is that? What type of animal can go through that doorway? A person can't go through that doorway. An elephant can't go through the eye of a needle. Right, maybe a tiny fruit fly can go through such a doorway. That's called opening the door. Says the Medrash, my children, Hashem says to Bnei Yisrael, my beloved children, if you're willing to make me an opening in tshuva, the size of an eye of a needle, a tiny opening, Va'ani poseach lechem psachim, and I'll open for you. Hashem says, in response to that tiny little crack you make, you open yourself up to do tshuva a little bit, a tiny bit. You know what Hashem says I'll do for you? I'll open for you psachim, doorways that are so big that agalos v'kranios nechnasos bo. That trains, that wagons, that big freight trains can go through. Hashem says, all I'm asking for you is just invest a little bit. That's what tzedakah is. It's not just tit for tat. The returns are so exponential. Hashem says, Chodesh El, I know it's hard. I know we're embarrassed. We don't like thinking about our avos. And we don't like making changes in our life. We're creatures of habit. It's hard for us to change. But Hashem says, I'm telling you, I'm begging you, just make a tiny little crack. If you'll open it up the tiniest little bit, if you'll just open it the tiniest, tiniest little bit, you'll see it's so significant. Don't be frightened. Don't psych yourself out with tshuva. There's a tzaddik who passed away a little while ago. His name is Rav Shlomo Hoffman. They put out a volume of his. This is who he is, Rav Shlomo Hoffman. Rav Shlomo Hoffman was seen by some of the greatest Rashi Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael as like the psychologist for the Haredi world. Rav Aaron Leib Steinmetz would send mashgichim from all the big yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael to train under this Rav Shlomo Hoffman. He was a genius when it came to understanding the human spirit. A genius, a Torah psychologist, a very deep person, and this whole sefer is all about some really deep Torah psychology. I mean, the topics are very heavy. How to deal with a person who's suicidal? How do you deal with a Haredi person whose whole life was religious and then one day woke up and decided to go off the derech? How do you deal with averos and people feeling guilty and feeling blame and shame? Recognizing one's own inner strength, introspection, very deep topics, all approached from a Torah psychology standpoint. Very, very beautiful sefer. It was a very popular sefer in Eretz Yisrael a little while back. Rav Shlomo Hoffman himself was born in Czechoslovakia in 1922. What today would be considered the Ukraine, the area that he was born in. And he came to Eretz Yisrael at a young age, and he joined the Chevron Yeshiva. And one of his early influences in the Chevron Yeshiva was Rav Chatzkel Sarna. So he tells a story, he tells a conversation, he writes in the Sefer, a conversation that he had with Rav Chatzkel Sarna, this time of the year, 1938, 1939 approximately. And he said, I learned a very important lesson that day. Because says Rav Shlomo Hoffman, I was walking around, it was Chodesh Elul, and I had a Chodesh Elul look on my face. I looked sad, I looked scared, I looked very serious. Elul's not a time for smiling, it's not Adar. Right? How many of us believe that? A little bit we believe that. A little bit we feel like, okay, we got to get serious, it's Elul. You know, no time for jokes. If a friend or a coworker sends me like a great YouTube video, like, don't forward in Chodesh Elul, you know? It's not the time to pass that kind of stuff around. Only Divrei Torah. Get very serious. So look what happens. This is what he writes. He tells a personal story from 1938-1939. Okay, Rabbi Yechezkel said to him in source number 9, Lama ata kol kach atzuv retzini? Why are you so sad and so serious? He saw it one morning. He said, what's with you? So he says, Rabbi, Shlomo Hoffman said back to him, Biglal she'achshav zeh aseres yimei tshuva. This is not a time for smiling. This is a time to be serious. So Rav Chatzkel Sarna, the Rosh Yeshiva in Chevron, said back to him, Umi amar she'aseres yimei tshuva lo tzarech lismalach? Who says you can't be happy during the aseres yimei tshuva? So he said, Rebbe, asukam achshav mitzvah tshuva. What do you mean? This is the most serious time to do tshuva. Umi yachol lamor bezeh. And I'm scared. Who can withstand what's expected of us? The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva, that a person has to change their ways to such an honest and sincere degree, ad sheyeid alav yodea ta'alumos, until the one who knows all the deepest secrets, yeid alav, can testify, that God can testify that this person is never going back. If you say, I'm never speaking Lashon Hara again, and I'm going to change my ways, and Hashem says, I see you're only 75% serious, then you haven't done tshuva gemura. So Shlomo Hoffman said, God has to be able to sign off on me that I'm for real. So I have to get really serious, otherwise my tshuva is worthless. That's what the Rambam says, that God should be able to look into my heart, and He knows the depths of my soul, and God should be able to say, this time, so-and-so is really not turning back. You're never going to make that mistake again. That's what we're striving for. That's what the Rambam says tshuva gemura is. So of course I'm scared, and of course I'm sad. That seems like impossible. So listen to what Rabbi Yechezkel Sarna said back to him in the last paragraph. Tzoik alai yelda mi, he said, Lama ata machmir ka Rambam? Who told you have to follow the most stringent opinion about tshuva? In any area of Jewish law, in any area of Jewish thought, right? As the saying goes, two Jews, at least three opinions. At least three opinions. So who told you to follow the most stringent shita when it comes to tshuva? Are you psyching yourself out? How does Rabbeinu Yonah describe tshuva? Rabbeinu Yonah is also a big player, one of the Rishonim. How does Rabbeinu Yonah understand tshuva? Hare anachnu makilim k'Rabbeinu Yonah. Let's follow the lenient opinion. Put a smile on your face. Believe that you can do it. Listen to what Rabbeinu Yonah says. Rabbeinu Yonah says, she'ikr chiyav ha'tshuva zeu sha'adam yisyatzev al derech tov. That I point myself in the right direction. My brother told me a mashal today. He said he thought it was from Rav Shalom Shvadron. He said, imagine a person gets on a bus in Yerushalayim and they're heading to Tel Aviv. Yeah, and they get on the bus and they strike up a conversation with someone sitting next to them and they're talking how they're going to Tel Aviv to do business. And okay, and the fellow says, oh, it's very interesting. What kind of business are you involved in? And they're schmoozing and they're talking, and all of a sudden the fellow says to him, he says, you know, You keep talking about how you're going to do business in Tel Aviv. I just have one question for you. Why are you on a bus heading to Be'er Sheva if you keep talking about doing business in Tel Aviv? And the guy realizes, I'm on a bus in the wrong direction. I'm heading in the wrong direction. So he realizes the mistake. He says to the bus driver, can I get off? You let me off somewhere on the highway. I need to... No, it's illegal. I'm not allowed to stop here. He ends up all the way in Be'er Sheva. And now he boards the bus in Be'er Sheva to Tel Aviv. So... At which point is he closer to Tel Aviv? When he got on the bus in Yerushalayim or when he got on the bus in Be'er Sheva? So he'll say, well, now he's, you know, in terms of the actual distance, he's farther away from where he wants to be. But when he got on the bus in Yerushalayim, he was heading in the wrong direction. When he got on the bus now in Be'er Sheva, at least he's pointing in the right direction. So in a certain sense, while in a geographic sense he's farther, but in terms of achieving his goal, he's much closer. He's much closer to getting to Tel Aviv now. He's at least getting on the bus that's going in the right way. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, when we point ourselves in the right direction, that's tshuva. We don't have to be there. We don't have to have arrived yet. But when we're on the derech, when we choose the right path, when we turn our car around and start driving in the right way, alzen nifsek b'gemara. That's what the Gemara refers to when it says Yom Kippur mechaper l'shavin. Yom Kippur works for those who are what? Who are returning, who are pointed in the right direction, who at least have lined our heart in the right direction. Our internal GPS has recalculated properly, and now we're pointed in the right direction. U'meharega sha'ata misyatzev al derech tov atakvar b'geder shavin. So says the Medrash, Pistuli Pesach Chudal Shamachat. Says the Medrash, you don't have to do everything in tshuva. Can you make a little opening in your heart? Can you make a little opening in your heart? But there's two things we need to know about this opening. And it's very important to understand these two things about this opening. We spoke tonight about the arrangement of Hashem's name for the month of Elul, Hey Hey Vav Yud. Right? But there are many acronyms for Elul. We mentioned one a moment ago. Ani Lidodi Vidodi Li. That's probably the most famous one. In the psukim that describe tshuva in Parshas Nitzavim, we learn a very important acronym for the month of Elul. It's a painful acronym, right? But it's where the title of this shiur is drawn from. In source number 10, in Parshas Nitzavim, the pasuk describes how a Kadosh Baruch Hu is coming to perform open heart surgery. Umal Hashem Elokecha es levavcha ve es levav zarecha. Hashem is going to circumcise your heart. Hashem is performing a delicate procedure because Hashem loves us. and He wants us to be healthy. And if, you know, if we ate too many products which are unhealthy, Hashem needs to perform a complicated bypass surgery on us, because we got to get healthy. It's dangerous, but God wants us to live. It's b'char to b'chaim. He wants us to live. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu circumcises our hearts and the hearts of our children so that we can love Him, we can properly serve Him all the days of our life. So the Sfarim say, look at the word, look at the phrase, Es Levavcha Ve'es Levav. You see it? Where it's bolded right under source 10. Es Levavcha Ve'es Levav. What are the first four letters? Aleph, Lamed, Vav, Lamed. Elul. The Sfarim say this is a hint to Elul. Hashem is going to circumcise Es Levavcha, your heart, Ve'es Levav Zarecha, the heart of your children. Es Levavcha Ve'es Levav, that little phrase, that piece of the pasuk, Rashi Tevos Elul. So my friends, if you go back to the Medrash didn't say where this opening takes place. The Medrash said, make an opening the size of the eye of a needle in tshuva. Right? Make a small opening, and Hashem says, I'll open it up the rest of the way. You just got to point yourself in the right direction. But where is that opening? Where do I open? What do I open? So what this pasuk is telling us means I have to open my heart. And that's a hard thing to do. Because sometimes our heart is a heart of stone. Our heart is not a heart of flesh, as the Navi describes it, as we'll talk about in a moment. And to be able to open our heart, we have to be able to dig deep. I don't have to open it a lot. No one's asking me to open a lot. I don't have to do everything. But to be able to make that Pesach, kechudo shomacha, like the eye of a needle. Let me ask you, did you ever see the eye of a needle close up on its own? Even if I tried to squeeze it, it's so small, but it's so firm, it's very hard to close it. So the tzaddikim explain, Hashem says, listen, all I need from you is one small, small act that's very real, that's very sincere. Don't even for a second pretend you're going to start changing big things in your life. It'll never last. It'll close up. I need you to make a small opening that's solid like the eye of a needle, that the opening goes through all the way. Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin, in source number 11, in the Pre-Tzadik, quotes from the Baal Shem Tov, Sha'a Pesach, where it's bolted. The Baal Shem Tov, the founder of Chassidus, explained, Sha'a Pesach yochol lios dak echud ha-shamachat. The opening can be as small as the eye of a needle, rak she'yeh mefulash me'ever le'ever ad omek ha-lev. But it has to go all the way through. That's the one rule. Where is the opening? The opening is in your heart. It's not just enough to open your mouth. It's not lip service. You have to open up the source of your existence. You have to dig deep. You have to open up your heart. And the opening has to be solid, rock solid. It has to go all the way through, from one side to the other. Not that the opening is, you know, halfway there, part of the way there. It has to be open all the way through, all the way. Sincere and real. And then Hashem says, that's it, that's all I ask of you. If you can do that, if you can give that little bit of tzedakah and try to really give it, utztaka tiyal lanu ki, you'll see Hashem says, just like tzedakah, the power is going to be exponential. But it's got to be something deep, it's got to be something real. I want to end with an amazing mashal and one final source, which is a beautiful piece of Torah that I want to learn together with you. In this of Itamar Schwartz, Rav in Eretz Yisrael, writes a lot of Sfarim, really just getting Jews back to basics. And he begs us in his volume on Yom Noram, in the first piece on Chodesh Elul, he begs us to just soften our hearts a little bit, to be able to do something for Hashem. What can I do for Hashem? Again, at the end of the day, it's Hashem's really giving us the gift of Elul. Right? Who's doing tzedakah for who? We're not doing tzedakah for Hashem, where we decide to be better Jews. We're doing tzedakah for ourselves. We get much more out of it than we're doing for Hashem. Hashem says, oh, Avram, you believe in me? Wow, tzedakah. Thank you, Avram, for believing in me. Avram says back to Hashem, according to the Kotzker Rebbe, what are you talking about? Hashem, you gave me the opportunity to believe in you. You've done much more for me than I've done for you. So what are we doing for Hashem in Chodesh Elul? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. As we enter tonight into the second day of Elul, What's the game plan for the next 28 days? What are we going to try to offer Hashem? And what we're learning tonight is it doesn't have to be a lot to get big returns. It can be a small thing, but it has to be a solid thing. It has to be a real thing. It has to be something that I feel that I can truly change now and forever. That I can give something up for Hashem. I can make a donation. Tzedakah. Tzedakah means I'm not going to take it back. I'm going to give it to someone, and it's theirs. It used to be mine, now it's theirs, but it's really mine. That's my investment. Let's read inside. The words are very beautiful. Source number 12. Libo shel adam yachol lios lev basar o lev evan. The human heart, as the Navi describes, can be sometimes soft, can be sensitive, can be caring, can be properly open and emotional, or sometimes we harden our hearts. One of the reasons we harden our hearts is just sometimes the pain is too difficult to bear. So as a coping mechanism, we close off our hearts. That's why the Navi says that when Mashiach comes, Hashem is going to soften our hearts again. It's not just that we've become callous and gullus. Not just that we've gotten caught up in, you know, silliness. It's that the pain of gullus has caused us to, as a defense mechanism, survive. We've have no choice but to try to just drown out our pain by hardening our hearts. So sometimes our heart becomes hard. And again, Chodesh Elul, we're trying to make that opening once again. Ma osim kasher yeshna karka sala'it. What happens when a person has hard earth? Verotzim livnos alea bayis. Let's say you're trying to build, right? And you find that the ground where you're trying to, you want to dig out a hole to lay a foundation, a proper foundation, but it's filled with all sorts of rocks. Okay, so what do? Mevi'im, bulldozer, you see? You bring a bulldozer. Sheachpor, you gotta start digging, gotta soften the earth. Sheinatetz es asalim, to break up some of those big rocks. By the end of the year, by the time you get to Chodesh El, we've traveled a long way since Nisan. If we look at Nisan as the beginning of the year, right? The Pesach Seder, everything was beseder then. The Seder was mesudar, our homes were mesudar, we did all our spring cleaning as we got rid of the chametz. Right? We got ourselves ready. But now, as time goes on, you know, now it's El. If we're counting from Tishrei, certainly it's a long way from Tishrei. The promises of last year, we were soft by Ni'ila last year, Yom Kippur. Our hearts have hardened. So we need to start breaking things up. Kasher libo shel adam nimtza b'matzav shel evan. When our hearts have become hardened. Yi'efshar l'poscho imafteach. You can't open your heart at this point with a key. Right? You need a bulldozer. We need to really do some serious digging in order to fashion that opening once again, to soften the heart. Tzarech lishbur shem mashu b'chdei l'seis makom l'kadosh baruch hu l'yos b'socho. And if we want to get Hashem back into our heart, which is really what we're talking about here, so we need to really dig deep. We need to make a solid opening. We need to make a place in our heart to invite Hashem in, to give Him a place to dwell. Kishemagiyam yimei adin va'adam rotza l'zachos l'kirvas Hashem. We want to be close to Hashem during these days, so how are we going to make that possible? A love la'aro cheshbon ha'nefesh. Now look what he writes here. We need to make the following calculation, to make the following introspection, become self-aware. Make the following cheshbon ha'nefesh ima'atzmo, al ma hu muchan levater mimasha hayelo ad hayom. What am I prepared to be mevater upon that I've held onto till this day? Like the stingy person that I am. Tzedakah is the opposite of being stingy. Tzedakah is the willingness to give something away. And real tzedakah, when I give something that I actually really care about, but you know what, I want you to have it more than I want me to have it. That's real tzedakah, that's beautiful. I'm not giving away something extra, I'm giving something that's meaningful to me. I'm giving you the coat off my back because I don't want you to be cold. I'd rather suffer and I should be cold and you should be warm. That's real tzedakah. What am I prepared to give up? So says the author of the Bavli Mishkan Avodah, what am I prepared to, that's the question, in the simplest terms, the takeaway from tonight's shiur, to ask ourselves, what am I prepared to give up this year for Hashem? What am I prepared to give up? What am I doing now that I know it's not ideal, may not be the biggest aver in the world, but you know, I could give this thing up. I'll be fine without this. I'll really be okay without this. What is it? Is it a physical item? Is it a thing that I do? Is it a, I don't know. What is it? We have to dig deep to find that, because sometimes it's buried in a very deep place. And it could be a small thing. It could be really a small thing. It could be this thing that I do all the time, and like, it's just a bad habit. I just have to get rid of it. And I want to give it up for Hashem. I'm ready to surrender that thing. I'm ready to trade it in Hashem. You know what? I'm willing to make a trade. I'm going to laugh at myself in a year from now when I actually have conquered that bad me. And it's like, well, that was what I would, last year I was such a big struggle. I thought it was such a big deal. I was giving it up. So that's okay. It can be very small. It can be the eye of a needle. As long as it goes all the way through. Vitor ze kashahu ad ma'od la'adam. to be mavater in this way, to surrender something, to decide to give something up for Hashem, is sometimes a very hard thing. It's very, very hard. I'll use Rabbi Tzenheni Machas again as an example. In the biography, it says that when she was a younger person and she enjoyed watching television, so she had the following arrangement. She said, Hashem doesn't love that I watch. It's not, you know, television was much more innocent back then, but, you know, compared to what a person could watch today, types of TV shows and movies that are coming out today. Okay, but she said, you know, it's just like, do I really need this? So she said, you know what I want to do? For every hour of TV that I watch, I'm going to say an hour of Tehillim. That was her deal. That's her deal. You like watching TV? Great. You have your favorite show? Great. Show runs 42 minutes. Take out the commercials, whatever it is, on Netflix. You can, you know, get through it much faster. Okay, great. So for however long that show is, I'm going to do 40 minutes, whatever length of time the show is, I'm going to do 40 minutes something Jewish also. I don't always do that. That's giving something up for Hashem. Right? That's giving something up for Hashem. Or if I watch 3 hours of TV a week, so this year I'm going to watch 2 hours of TV a week. I'm going to try to use 1 hour a week better. Maybe I shouldn't watch it all. Okay, I'm not on that level yet. I'm giving up an hour of something that I enjoy doing, and I'm going to try to spend that hour in a better way. And that's really hard for a person. That's what he says here. To give up something is really hard. It's like kamo lachsov bahar lishbor evan. It's like breaking apart hardened earth, because I'm used to this. I'm used to talking a certain way. I'm used to making my brachos a certain way. What if I decide I'm going to change the way I make asher yatzar? It'll literally cost me about, I don't know, 30 seconds a day to go from a mumbled Asher Yatzar to a good Asher Yatzar. Or let's say I'm not so good at saying it, let's say I forget to say Asher Yatzar, to start saying it. So what am I adding to my day? 2 minutes of thanking God that my body can properly work? It shouldn't be so hard. If I think for a second, that's like it should be so easy. And it's hard for a person because change is hard. אבל כשם שכשרוצים להיכנס לתוך ההר חופרים בו מנהרה, the same way that when a person wants to get through a mountain, we sometimes make a tunnel. I don't have to actually uproot the whole mountain. I can just make a tunnel, but the tunnel has to be a good tunnel. I don't want the tunnel to collapse on me, God forbid. כך אשר הלב הוא לב אבן. So too, when my heart has become hardened from the difficulties of life, and it's normal to feel that way sometimes. V'rotim liftoach bo pesach l'akadosh baruch hu, and I want to dig a tunnel back to God. Chayavim lachsov b'soch halev, I need to dig a hole through my heart, u'lefales nisiv knisa, to make an entryway, but it has to go all the way through. What good is a tunnel that goes halfway? It doesn't get me anywhere. I need the tunnel to go all the way through. I don't need to uproot the whole mountain, but I need to make a strong tunnel that goes all the way through. Adam muchach levater al dvarim shebelibo. It's of necessity for me to give something up for Hashem. That's how I make a tunnel. That's where Itamar Schwartz says how you make a tunnel. Al ma hu yivater. What will I be prepared to give up? Kan yesh lo bechira. Here's where we have to make a choice. Here's where it gets personal. Aval lefacho shiofia liomdin. But I should be able to show up to Rosh Hashanah saying I understood the secret of the name of God for Elul. Hey, vav yod, tzedakah tiyalanuki. Hashem says, what tzedakah did you give me? You gave a penny, you gave a nickel, you gave a dime, you gave a dollar. What did you give? How much did you stretch your spiritual muscles to give something up? To show up on Rosh Hashanah and say, Hashem, I brought you a present. I'm giving something up. Im vitur al echad miritzonosav l'man Hashem yizbar. Something that I like, but I'm going to do less. It's going to be less about me this year. It's going to be a little bit less, a tiny bit less about me this year, and a little bit more about you this year, Hashem. It could be 1 minute a day. It could be 1 second a day. Amanas latet mako lekadosh baruch hu lishros belibo. And in that 1 minute, or in that one act, or in that one decision, that's where you're going to live this year, Hashem. I'm inviting you into that space. I'm making room in my house for you. He compares it to that moment when Yaakov comes to Beis Lavan. And it says, Panisia Sabayas, we cleared space in the house for you. When you have a guest, you have to make room for that guest. Right? All the more so if it's someone who actually lives in the house, so hopefully they have a proper place to live. They feel that there's somewhere for them to stay. Okay, they may share a room with a sibling, whatever it is, you know, depending on the size of the home. Right? But they should have a place. They shouldn't feel that they don't have a place. So Hashem says, I want to be a part of your life. I want to be a part of your house. I want to be a part of your heart. Is there a spot where I can live permanently, not just for a period of time, But I want to find the permanent place. Havitor lo yeh, the final three lines. Havitor lo yeh lasar yom bilvad. Hashem says, I don't want you just for 10 days to invite me in, and then the heart turns back into a heart of stone. I want a small opening that's going to last. Aseres yemei tshuva. I don't want it to just last for 10 days. Hu lo yigamer b'Hoshana Rabbah. I don't want it to come to an end on Hoshana Rabbah. I don't want it to end v'lo gam b'Chanukah. According to Sefer Chassidus, Chanukah is really the end of the Yom Naram period. I want it to last beyond Chanukah. I want it to go the whole year. Eliezer Vitor Gamur Utmidi. I want it to be something that lasts forever. Kol Dodi Dofek. The beloved is knocking. Anila Dodi V'Dodi Li. Hashem says, if you really love me, I'm knocking on the door. Pischili. Make an opening. A real opening. A sincere, real opening that's going to last. And Hashem says, if you do that, we'll be able to open up a lot more. I want to end with a mashal. Rabbi Roberts from the Yeshiva Gadol and Tinek shared this mashal almost 9 years ago now. My brother had shared this mashal with me at the time. It's a beautiful mashal. It's really a beautiful mashal. A mother and her young daughter are standing in the mall. Some store, sometimes even in the supermarket. And she sees, the young girl sees, that there's a rack with some jewelry hanging, a display of some jewelry. There's a pearl necklace there. Right. And she picks it up and says, "Oh, mommy, please, can I get this pearl necklace? Can I get this pearl necklace? I love this. It's such a beautiful pearl necklace." And her mother looks at it and she takes it in her hand. She looks at the price tag, $1.50. You know, it's not a real pearl necklace. She says, "I don't know. Are you ready for a pearl necklace? This is expensive. I don't know if I." She says, "No, mommy, I'm a big girl now. You know, I'll wear it on Shabbos. It'll be special for Shabbos." Her mother says, "Okay, you know what, sweetie, you've been really good. You've been cleaning your room really nicely, and you're doing well in school. And you've been very good with your little baby brother. Okay, you know what? You're a big girl now. I'm going to buy you a piece of real jewelry. A pearl necklace." And she buys the $1.50 pearl necklace. And this girl, wow, she comes home. She loves her pearl necklace. She puts it on that first Shabbos, but she never takes it off. She sleeps in the pearl necklace. She showers in the pearl necklace. She lives in that pearl necklace. And for months and months and months, this is like her prized possession. So one night, her father comes into the room. He's putting his daughter to sleep. And he says, "You know, my beloved Rivkala, I see you wearing your pearl necklace. You know, you seem to never take it off." She says, "No, Daddy, this is like my prized possession." So her father says to her, comes in, he reads her a book. And they say Shema. He's putting her to sleep, and he says, "You know, Rivkala, Daddy would also really would love that pearl necklace. Do you think I could have your pearl necklace?" So the girl, "Daddy, I love you so much. If you want, my stuffed animal, you can have my stuffed animal. I sleep with this every night also. This is very precious to me. If you want my stuffed bear that I've had since I was a baby, you could." So the father says, "No, it's okay. I'm not interested in a stuffed bear. It's okay." He gives her a kiss on the head and says goodnight. He comes back the next night, and he does his whole bedtime routine, and he says, "Rivka, I've been thinking about that pearl necklace. It would mean so much to me if I could have your pearl necklace. I know you love your pearl necklace, but would you give it up for me? Would you give me?" And she says, "Daddy, you know that bike you and mommy got me for Hanukkah last year? Pink streamers on the side. That'd be great for you, Daddy. You could take my pink bike." He says, "No, it's okay. Not interested in the pink bike." His father comes back the third night, and as he walks into the room, he sees his little daughter sitting on the bed. And she's sobbing into her hand, and she's holding out her hand, she's holding the pearl necklace in her hand. And she says, "Daddy, you know what I thought about? I want you to have the pearl necklace. You do so much for me. You and mommy do so much for me. If you want the pearl necklace," I don't know why my daddy wants a pearl necklace, "but if you want a pearl necklace, if you want my pearl necklace, I'm prepared to give it up for you. I'm prepared to make the sacrifice and give up the pearl necklace for you." And the father takes the pearl necklace. He says, "You sure?" He says, I want you to have it." He asks for it back in the cup. "No, it's yours to keep. I want you to keep it." And the father takes the pearl necklace and he puts it into his pocket. And he reaches into his other pocket and he takes out a little box and he opens it up, and inside is a real pearl necklace. It's a real pearl necklace. And he gives his daughter the pearl necklace and says, "Sweetie, I want you. Here's the real. You showed me that, wow, you're willing to do that for me. I want you to have the real thing. You should know this was not a real pearl necklace. It looks like a real pearl necklace. Now I want you to have the real thing." Kodesh Baruch Hu says to us, show up to Yom Naran with something from Chodesh Al, some tzedakah. Hashem says, "Give me a donation, something, anything. It could be such a small thing. But it has to come from your heart, and it has to come from a deep place, and it has to be real, and it has to be sincere, and it has to be an opening that's not going to close up 10 days after Rosh Hashanah or 10 months after Rosh Hashanah. I want you to make a small permanent change. And for you, it might feel like you're giving away the biggest thing in the world, your prized possession. But Hashem says, I promise you, if you'll give me just the $1.50 pearl necklace, I'll give you something so much more real in exchange. So Amir says, Hashem, we should understand, again, this is part of the secret of that name of Hashem for the month of Elul. Tzedakah tia lanuki. It'll be a tzedakah for who? It'll be a tzedakah for you. We think we're giving Hashem of ourselves during these days. We're going to try a little bit harder. We're going to make more donations to you, Hashem. Hashem says, I promise I'm going to pay you back. I'm going to pay you back with life and bracha and parnasa and shidduchim and whatever it is that each person needs in their life. Hashem says, I'm going to pay you back. Just try to give me something a little bit. I know I asked for a lot, and I know you've given me a lot in the past. But Hashem says, I'm asking you in Chodesh El to make that small opening. And if you make that Pesach, Chodesh HaMachad, Hashem says, Mirtz Hashem will open up the rest of the way and he'll have all the bracha that a person could possibly need in this world. Okay, we should be zocha. Thank you all for coming. Chodesh Tov. It should be a good year for everyone, for Klal Yisrael.